You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 24th of September. It's Media Day. The Culture Code interviews begin with Joe Ingles, the leader of the group, to lead it off. We'll talk rotation thoughts, training camp, Media Day questions, all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! Welcome to the 2018-19 NBA season. It's finally here. Tons to talk about today, but the big story today on Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers on the Utah Jazz, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can follow them for free there, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. The big story is that for the last month, I've been sitting down with our players to talk about the book Culture Code, because it seems, at least in our opinion, that there's something unique going on inside the Utah Jazz. Daniel Coyle has written this really interesting book, The Culture Code, Six Secrets of Highly Successful Groups. He goes and sits down with some of the most interesting companies, from Zappos to the Navy SEALs to the Spurs to Pixar, and learns how they do different things and what the cultures are. I try the best I can to dig into that with our players to try to get some insight from them on why this group came together and why and if it will hold together. That's the purpose of these interviews. This week we'll have Joe Ingles for you today. I won't have one for you tomorrow just because I think we'll be reacting to all the Media Day comments. Then Epe Udo on Wednesday, Howell Neto on Thursday, and Derek Favors on Friday. And then next week, then we'll switch gears to open up the first week of October and do get-to-know interviews with Grayson Allen, George Niang, Naz Long, and then back to Culture Code with Royce O'Neal and Ricky Rubio, followed by Tabo Cephalosha, Jay Crowder, Tony Bradley, Dante Exum, and Rudy Gobert, with final one being Alec Burks and Donovan Mitchell before we wrap it up. So that's going to be kind of the next 3 weeks of the show. I think it'll be interesting. There will be a lot of repetitive questions, but the number one thing that jumps out to me in all of these interviews is that I ask them all the exact same question, which is, in this book, they talk about a study in which there's a group of four or five people working on a project, and they insert another person who's a plant by the study. And in one case, the plant is someone who's very, very positive with their energy. And in another case, the plant is someone who's very, very negative in their energy and how they impact the group. And needless to say, as you would probably expect, the person who has all this negative energy, even without ever giving a suggestion or doing anything, completely derails the impact on the positive energy of the group and how they perform. And the positive energy person, that group starts to perform even better. So when you kind of look at that, I think that you'll see what jumped out to me the most is that they don't answer the same guy. In almost no circumstance, the guys answer the same. For example, you'll hear Joe Ingles has a surprise guy for you today. He gives you a name of someone that's differently than you would expect. And then other guys give other people. Howell Neto will have another person. And to some extent, that's what makes this group and this culture unique. I think you'll also, we'll talk about it on those days, but the answers by Howell Neto and Epe Udo about what they think the key, you know, who that person is that changes the group, is eye-opening as well. So those are all coming. There'll be a lot of different news. There'll be a lot of different information in all of it, and I hope you enjoy them. So they'll be a little repetitive, though. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to tell you. But there's a reason for it in that repetition that I think you'll hear different things as we go on. We'll get to that in a little bit. I thought Andy Bailey, SL Dunk, SLC Dunk, Andy does good work. did a really interesting piece about the rotation. It's one of the big questions coming in. Mike Sorensen did a piece about what's going on with the five big questions to training camp and various things. And frankly, on all of these, Andy Larson did the same thing. A lot of these, I just don't think we're getting an answer to training camp. The biggest questions of the season, to me, are not happening during training camp. The biggest question of the season, to me, is going to be Donovan Mitchell and how he deals with failure and with all the pressure that he has on him. Last year, whenever things went wrong, it was all cool because Donovan was just a rookie. Now, how does he feel and how does he react? Does he still maintain that incredible level? To me, that's the number one story to me, but we're not finding out anything about that until probably, we're 7-6 in our first 13 games on the murderous schedule. And how does everyone react? The second one is this culture code issue to me, which is, does this group still stay together? More often than not in the history of the NBA, when groups leave and don't spend time together for 5 months, they don't come back the same. And I was talking to my dad, who's got quite a background in business, and he was talking about how, I've been talking about culture code and this and how much more difficult it is to maintain a culture inside an NBA when there's possibility of trades, there's contract issues, there's playing time issues. There's all these different things that Zappos or Pixar or Navy SEALs, frankly, is not dealing with. And so it's such a different combination. That, to me, is the second story. But, again, not something we probably find out in training camp. I think what we might find out in training camp is, where does Dante Exum fit? And I think maybe the most interesting one to me in training camp is, where is Alec Burks? So the game gets a little bit more one-on-one-y with switching. Can he get there? Can he play well defensively? Where is he as a player? To me, I think is really interesting. And then, is Derek any different? I think would be part of the issue there. The reason I mention these things is, so Dante, I still think we're unknown, and Alec, I think, has an opportunity. I know that Tony Jones has said that the organization plans to play Grayson Allen. I don't know whether that's true or not. I just suspect that job is Dante. Those minutes are Dante Exum's or Alec Burks to start, and the Grayson Allen's really good and going to push the heck out of him for those minutes, and that's going to be the minute battle that exists maybe more than anything else that's out there. And that, to me, is going to develop, but I think, again, that's going to develop over 20 games. I think Grayson's really going to push these guys, struggle defensively, really push these guys, and then if Alec and Dante are able to step forward and play, then maybe there's not a spot there. This gets to where I actually was going with the Andy Bailey piece a minute ago. Sorry, I kind of got off track. That's not unusual. Is that he views the Jazz interchangeable from 2 through 4. So shooting guard, small forward, 4, whatever you want to call it. I don't agree. I see the Jazz interchangeable 1 through 3. So what I mean by that is, I actually think the 4 is really clear. It's Derek to start, and it's Thabo and Jay playing the stretch 4 minutes with Gobert and Favors, and a little bit of the season is going to be trying to figure out who melds well. Joe Johnson, Derek Favors was a mess, and the Jazz stayed away from it. So who are the pieces? What is that? Does Crowder and Favors work better together? Do Crowder and Thabo work better? Do Thabo and Rudy work better together? Trying to figure that out a little bit, I think, will be interesting early in the year to see what we discover. But I think I see 1 through 3, other than Ricky, is very interchangeable. I think Ricky's your point guard, probably 30 minutes a night, not anymore. His body just needs that time. And then you work from there, where I think Donovan can play the 1 or the 2, Dante can play the 1 or the 2, Grayson can play the 1 or the 2, Ingles can play the 1 or the 3. Or the 2. Alec can play the 2 or the 3. Royce O'Neal can probably play the 2 or the 3 without a lot of handle. Though his handle's better than he gets credit for, so that's probably not fair. And I think those are all interchangeable. Where I think 4 and 5 is just really clear. The 4 and 5 position is 4 guys. It's Thabo, Jay, Derek, Rudy. And that's it. And Epe is your 5th guy as the center. And George Niang is your backup, in case of injury. At the 4, and I think Niang probably pushed for a little minutes, but I think that's, I see it very much that way, so in contrast to the way Andy talked about it. I got my first gripe that I got to share, where, maybe finally with all the hubbub and all the respect. We didn't quite get the respect we deserve on one thing. I'll have that for you coming up. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. They're located in Woods Cross and in Linden. Let's talk Murdoch's first. 92 years in business in Utah. Chevy and Murdoch have been intertwined in Utah this whole entire time. Family-run business with great pride. They want to make you feel when you leave that you're feeling as though you're getting exactly that, the Murdoch experience. So they've done everything they can. Car washes for life, safety inspections for life, price match guarantee, and five-day return policy. Let's talk Chevy. You know the truck line. I drove the Silverado. It's unbelievable, pure luxury, totally awesome. Feels like you're sitting in a Lazy Boy chair. I felt like I could drive for 5 hours at a time. Incredible power, big truck. I drove the Colorado, which was convenient. It had this great kind of much more manageable size to it to me. That's because very fun, quick. I had the diesel, so it was terrific. And now I'm driving the SUV lineup, and I'm super impressed. You know about the Suburban and the Tahoe and what they bring. I've got the Equinox right now, which is their midsize SUV. It's zippy. I've got the dual cam motor. I got a little turbo, powers up the Canyon. It's got all this, a bunch of safety features to it. Nice spacing inside. Rides very clean. I've been impressed by all the Chevys on how quiet the rides are. So very, very impressive. Check it out. Murdoch Chevy, September to remember, no payments until 2019. Find new roads at Murdoch Chevy. Joe Ingles interview coming up in just a second. Media Day live coverage. I'll be live at UtahJazz.com. 1280 The Zone will be live at 1280. So make sure you grab either of those two, whatever you want. Ron Boone and I will be live at UtahJazz.com for you today. And remember, it's a Monday, so Locked on NBA has the biggest names on the local story, biggest stories, local experts edition, our most popular Locked on NBA show every single Monday with Josh Lloyd. And Josh is doing a great job on Locked on Fantasy Basketball. All right, I have my first little gripe, and then we'll get to the Joe Ingles Culture Code interview. My first little gripe is that ESPN did their power rankings and has the Thunder ahead of the Jazz. Like, why? Like, why does ESPN's power ranking have the Thunder ahead of the Jazz? So they added Dennis Schroeder, who's not good, right? They signed Paul George, which I think is, I agree 100%, is the biggest story in the entire offseason. Is the Thunder signing Paul George? Because if they didn't sign Paul George, I think they were like done. And so I absolutely agree with that, that's there. But I'm a little lost on why the Jazz beat them in the playoffs, keep the same team together, and then get dropped below them in the power rankings. It's just good for us to have at least something. Everything else has been done this year so much to our favor and everything making us feel good about ourselves. And it's going to be really interesting to see how our guys deal with that. But I kind of wonder about that. Like the Thunder at five, and the write-up by Royce Young, it's first time in a few years the Thunder looked pretty straightforward. Continuity, there aren't questions about... Okay, Russell Westbrook had knees, and then went and Russell... Westbrook had knee surgery, he says, and now it's a little different. So they're at five with Westbrook having knee surgery, Andre Robertson evidently not being entirely ready for training camp right now, and they added Dennis Schroeder, who's not particularly good. They lost Carmelo. I mean, this is maybe just a statement on Carmelo. The Jazz, on the other hand, are at six, and they're ahead of Philadelphia, which is a little surprising, frankly. The 76ers dropped to seven. I guess the loss of Ilyasova, Marco Bellinelli are significant. But I don't know. Not a big gripe, but it's interesting to me that like that's how that's played out. The other one I would throw out there, Pelicans came in at 13th. Everyone is convinced that Elfrid Payton is a huge step back from Rajon Rondo. Here's the real issue. Drew Holiday could not play with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis on the floor together. Now that is separated. Drew Holiday can go back to playing the one if he wants to, and they don't have as big a point guard issue as they want. And frankly, I don't think Elfrid Payton's as bad as everyone thinks. So that should be really interesting. T-Wolves are obviously in a world of hurt. Who knows how this plays out? Owner, according to Woj, the owner's taking over for the GM, which is Scott. So just all sorts of crazy, crazy things going on there. And Anthony Davis has signed a new deal with Clutch Sports, which is LeBron's agency. So LeBron's agency now has 20 NBA players. LeBron has been a step ahead of this game the entire time. It's really totally brilliant. All right, Joe Ingles coming up next on the show. And media day today, live coverage at UtahJazz.com, as well as on 1280 The Zone. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazuma USA. If you're a small business owner, one to five probably, and you are not using Mazuma USA, you are costing yourself time and money. So here's how Mazuma works. Mazuma will do all your bookkeeping and get all your taxes ready for you. You sign up with Mazuma, $75 a month. They assign you a bookkeeper and they assign you a CPA. They don't change. That, to me, when I learned about this business, that was the thing that jumped out to me more than anything else. The number two thing is, every month you get a report. I'd love this for the Locked On Podcast Network. We have too many people. Number two, they keep every quarter, they're doing a tax call with you, and they're keeping track of your taxes. And when it's time, they just get that out for you. It's an amazing convenience, $75 a month. Call them right now for a free consultation, 801-980-2108. Tell them you're Locked On Jazz. 801-980-2108. That's 801-980-2108. I don't know the great. Dominique Wilkins was 21. Darren Williams is 08. I don't know what the 980 is. Okay, so give them a call, 801-980-2108, and find out what they can do. If you're a salesperson, you got one or two people on staff. You're doing insurance, you got one or two people on staff. Real estate, Devin Cash, I'm talking to you. 801-980-2108. Call Mazuma USA. Find out what they can do for you and how much money and time they can save for you by basically giving you a bookkeeper and a CPA for $75 a month. Here we are, our first of our Culture Code interviews. Who else to start out with but Joe Ingles? I hope you enjoy these conversations. And again, tomorrow we'll do Media Day, and then we'll continue the rest of the week with him. Here's my conversation with Joe. Would love your thoughts. Please join our Facebook group, Locked On Jazz, to share your thoughts on these interviews and what jumps out to you from the conversations.
When the year ended last year, all you guys talked about the family. What did that mean to you? Like, when you talk about this team as a family, what does that mean?
Kind of exactly that. It's, you obviously, yeah, everybody, we all have our families, our immediate blood families. But I think coming, and it's obviously grown over time, and not that when I first got here, we were all separate, but the more you're around people, and obviously we've had a pretty core group that's been here, especially since I got here. Getting to know each other, you know personal things. You just know a lot more about people as you get closer and spend more time with them. I know you a lot better than what I did 4 years ago. So I think just that, and then the work we put in daily with Coach, and sometimes it's testing, and you could easily not throw the towel in, but you could easily just kind of break away. And we've always stuck together. We've had, obviously, with injuries and stuff over the last few years, there were so many times I feel like the group could have easily just split and gone not separate ways, but lost a few games or kind of given up on the season. And we never did. And I think that brings you closer. We always knew, especially the last couple of years, when things weren't going well, we knew we would get out of it. We just, there was a belief there from, and that starts from the top, feeding it down, and we just had that belief. And the guys are awesome, and to again have a pretty similar group again, adding Grayson obviously, and George now more, I think he's guaranteed, isn't he, for this year or whatever. You just keep, it's enjoyable to come to your so-called work every day.
Where does it build from? It's got to come from somewhere, right? Like, what is the characteristics that you think have to happen for, that doesn't just, You don't put 12 guys in a mosh pit and then that happens.
Well, obviously, that, like I said, it starts from the top. It starts from Gail and her family, I think. And not that I've followed the Jazz their whole lifespan, but knowing what I know in the last few years, I think they go after individuals that fit with this team, with what their family values are. And obviously, you always have ups and downs along the way, but then you have a GM who basically feeds down from the owners, and you have a coach who feeds from Dennis, and they're all really good people, and they genuinely care about the players. And I think they like I said, they recruit and target good people, and I think having good people allows us to bond and have that belief that we can win games and we can get better and we can make the playoffs from a few years ago. And yeah, I really believe it starts from obviously from Gail and her family, and that's what they've wanted the Jazz to be known about, and I think they are. I think around the league people know what the values of being a Utah Jazz player is.
There's an interesting book out called Culture Code that is about this stuff, and he goes and embeds himself in 8 different cultures and comes out with the common characteristics from the Navy SEALs to, he actually talked about the Spurs. And the thing he said was that the members have to feel safe and be willing to have a vulnerability to them, or that the leader has to have some vulnerability to them. Have you experienced that? Do you have that safety feeling inside this group?
I do now, I guess, being here a little bit. I think the first couple of years I was trying to find my feet a little bit, and same thing. You don't know people. I came to live here in Utah, where I never thought I would. I didn't even know where it was. I got a call from Dennis and that, and I had to look up where I was going. And yeah, now I do. I genuinely feel very safe walking through these doors and being around these people. I think everyone has to have a bit of vulnerability to them. I think we're not all superheroes. We're pretty regular guys as well.
But you're put on pedestals and you're treated like superheroes a little. I mean, that's to not feel, and in a machismo male way, to occasionally ask for help is a very kind of different thing, right?
Oh, it is. And I think probably more males in general don't talk about feelings or how they're really feeling or things that are going on in their life. And I've done it. Renee constantly pushes me to, like, what's wrong? And I'm like, no, I'm good, because I know I always feel like I can deal with it myself. And I think it's awesome. Obviously, a lot of players more recently have started to speak about it. And obviously, I don't know who the first one was, but whoever started it has made more people feel comfortable about it and know that it's not an embarrassing thing, or you shouldn't feel bad about it or embarrassed to speak about how you really feel, or if you're upset, or if you're a male, to cry about something, or whatever it is. And I think within your team, you want to be like that. I think you need to trust the guys around you. I think our guys do. I think different guys, you obviously have different relationships with everyone in your team. You're closer with some guys, you're not as close, but you're still the 15 guys. We're a pretty tight group. And I'd have no problem sitting down with any of my teammates and listening to them speak about something if they wanted to, or if I had to tell them something, I would feel comfortable talking to them as well.
There's a study done where they take a group and they plant one person in who's just negative and watch the group performance, and then they plant another person in who's just positive, and obvious things happen. It's amazing, the one person impact. Is there anybody in this group that's that positive impact that jumps out to you?
Probably not if I took that long to answer. I think honestly that the one who kind of comes to mind, which I don't know if it would be a surprise or not, is probably AB. And not in terms of, like, we all know he's not the most talkative. Like, he's a pretty quiet guy in general, really. But to see, especially we got here, I think the year I got here, he signed his deal, his big deal, and Basically, since he signed it, he's been injured. Obviously, a lot of it not his fault, a few freaky type of things. But you see, you watch him through all the, like, jumping over cones after practice because that's what he has to do, and he gets so frustrated at doing it, but it's what a part of the recovery. And then you see him come in the playoffs last year, and Ricky went down, and even I think towards the end of the year he played a little more too, but then the playoffs, and he came in, and that's pretty tough to do when you haven't really played consistently over the last few years. And I think a lot of players would fail in that situation. But even at practice and through all of that, he wasn't playing during the year. He was always working hard. He was always ready to go. And every time he came in, he helped our team. So he was someone that I think has been really a really positive light amongst the group, because you guys wouldn't see. He doesn't talk. He's a quiet guy. He comes in, he works hard, he does his stuff, and he goes home to his fiance and his daughter. And from my point of view, to see him, what he did in the playoffs, and come in and be really effective immediately. He didn't need a game to warm up. He was like bang, and he was back. And I think that's really hard to do.
Let's do this both team and personal. Here's where I am as a player. Here's where I want to go.
Utah.
No, just you. Like, Joe Ingles, here's where I am. Here's where I want to go.
I guess I'm a very... I don't even know. That's a good one. It took you a while this offseason to think of that question, didn't it?
I read the whole book. It's like doing a college book report, high school book report all over again. I finished it, too. It was amazing. Are you surprised I can read?
A little bit.
Yeah, I figured.
I guess where I am is kind of somewhere I didn't think I'd be in the first place, really. But happy where I'm at, but not content with just being who I was kind of last year and the last couple of years. But to see where I was 5, 6, 7 years ago in Europe and hating life and basketball and just not really enjoying going to practice and stuff, and then to get a lifeline and from the Jazz, and now be where I am now, kind of happy with where I've come, but I think I've still got a lot more to prove and a lot more to do. I think I can get better. I think I can become a lot more consistent and help our team more, and at the end of the day, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help our team. I'm not really worried about my own individual stats or accolades or anything like that, and whatever I do is going to be to help the team win, and I'll do that.
Okay, the team is here, and the team wants to go here, and I'm adding one into it. What's the obstacles? What's the biggest obstacle for you to make that jump?
I think where we're at is we were a playoff team last year. I think we should have obviously got. I think it would be silly for us not to say we don't want to, or we shouldn't be. I think we are a playoff team. To get a step further than we did the previous year, we went from the first round to the second round, was great. But I guess the hurdles and the obstacles to get to where you want to go, which is obviously to win the championship and bring a championship back to Utah, is those top echelon teams that everyone talks about. Houston's the Golden States. I think they're the teams that people are trying to knock off and work out ways to beat them. I think we've figured out different things along the way over this last couple of years that can be effective against those teams, and I think we will be better this year having the same group, not taking the first 40, 50 games to get used to each other, and we know where we're at, we know how we're going to play. And it's exciting. So I think for us, it's the injuries has always been something that's haunted us a little bit. A lot of them just freak things. Rudy gets like knee fell on at practice, and AB star. There's always just been bad timing and some freaky things. So guys just taking care of themselves, and I think we can be right up there with those teams.
I left you the last one so you can have fun with it. Every great culture has leaders that have catchphrases that are perpetually sent to the employees so that they know what the goals are. What are Quinn Snyder's catchphrases?
How long have we got? I don't know. He says so many things. I'm trying to think.
Interestingly, by the way, this book says that you have to over-communicate your messages. I think you'd agree that that's done.
Quinn is definitely over-communicating his messages in a good way. I don't say that, but I think it's, especially with the young group, I think knowing where he in his mind wants to take us, and he knows he can see all, like he envisions all that stuff. I can see him sitting at home, like weirdly watching whatever he does, and he definitely, I don't want to say over communicates because I might get in trouble, but he's a very good communicator. I don't even remember what the question was.
That is Joe Ingles on our culture focus.
Again, that is number one. We'll take a day off and go back with him later in the week. Go up to Locked On Jazz Facebook group and give us your thoughts on what jumped out to you. I thought his comments about Alec Burks were really, really interesting. What jumped out to you about day number one on the Culture Code interviews here on Locked On Jazz? Locked On NBA has the biggest stories, the local experts, and Locked On Fantasy Basketball has all your previews you need for the season. It's all on the Locked On Podcast Network.